Captain Talent Radio.
Good evening, everyone. My name is Jeffrey Combs. I was just getting the recording set up here. I am the president and founder of Golden Mastermind Seminars Incorporated, the week before July 4th. Welcome to the call, everyone. I will be hosting this call on Tuesday night, July 4th. It may be a little shorter than normal because of the holiday, but I will definitely suit up, show up, deliver a few announcements, and some inspiration on such a great 4th of July. Our Independence Day. So we're 1 week out. We're ending up the month strong of July 2017. I want to welcome everyone to this call. If you're a first-time caller, I host this call each and every Tuesday night at 10:30 Eastern Standard Time for 18-plus years, going on 19 this fall. All of these calls are recorded and available on Podomatic, and you can also find them on archive calls on my website, goldenmastermind.com. For you who have not been to my website, it was just loaded Monday, a brand new website with lots of benefits, features, free products, a lot of great testimonials. I want to thank all of you who participated and produced testimonials for me. Thank you. Thank you, thank you, and we will continue to bring new innovation and creativity to free enterprise through the products and services that we deliver. I want to thank my team, Carolyn Olson and Chris Schar and Alec Friel, who unequivocally are the trifecta and the straw that stirs the Golden Mastermind drink. I'm going to cover a few quick announcements this evening, then I'm going to move into the inspirational portion of tonight's call. One of my favorite topics is the psychology of letting go, and not only the psychology of it, but the practicality and the applied application of being able to effectively let go of the events that shape your feelings. So when you finish tonight, you'll have a much better understanding of why you do what you do, so you can effectively let go. Next Saturday, I will be speaking in one of my favorite places to speak, Long Island, New York. Now, if you've attended that event in Huntington, I've always had that event since I've been speaking at the Hilton Hotel. I have moved that event to a Marriott, a much better location, a great place to see an event, and I will be speaking from 9 till 4. Many of my top-tier clients will be coming in from New Jersey, Philadelphia, and other places in the East Coast for that event. I will also be back on the East Coast several times this year, August 19th in Philadelphia. I will be in Portsmouth, New Hampshire on September 16th. I will be back in Long Island near the end of the year and some other places before, and I'll also be on October 28th in Norwalk, Connecticut. And I will speak one more time in either Long Island, Rye, or Weehawken, New Jersey, one of those places before the year ends. On Saturday, July 15th, I'll be in one of those beautiful cities in Southern California, La Jolla. July 22nd, Atlanta, Georgia. July 29th, for the first time in Austin, Texas in years. And then August 5th will be the Millionaire Blueprint. That will be the fourth time I've hosted an event, Millionaire Blueprint, at this event. So that is from noon until 4 with Jennifer Corliss-Trinkner, Tara Romano, Susan Sly, and myself. There are still plenty of tickets available, $20 for that event from noon until 4. If you're on tonight's call and you've never taken advantage of a free 15-minute coaching session, if you want to find out more about how I can assist you to let go, become a better entrepreneur, create results in free enterprise, then feel free to contact me for a free one-time 15-minute coaching session. You can contact me directly at 209-932-0227. That is a Bay Area, San Francisco area number. And you can also send me a message me on my messenger on Facebook with your phone number and what you would like me to assist you with. Now tonight, I'm going to move into the inspirational portion of tonight's call. I have a fantastic call for you. As I said, one of my favorite topics, the psychology, the art, the practicality, and the application of letting go. Letting go are two of the most misunderstood words in recovery, personal development, self-improvement, spirituality, yet it's words that's spoken frequently. And there's oftentimes the two words in front of it, three words, how do I let go? Well, first of all, letting go is not a how do I. Letting go is a commitment. Letting go is a decision. But it's also important, imperative, that you understand what you're letting go of. If you are letting go, if you seek to let go, then you want to let go of the anxieties, the conditioned behaviors, the reasons, the stories, but most importantly, the events. It's events that shape the feelings that drive the anxieties. And the more you understand why you do what you do, then you can separate your feelings from the events. If you're a business owner and you've entered into your first business venture and you find yourself having challenges engaging in the process, you're very excited about the products, the benefits, and the features. You're going to the workshops, the seminars, the rallies, the conventions. You're listening to the content, the podcasts, the Zoom calls. You're very, very inspired by all the knowledge you're receiving, but you have challenges with the practical application of the action. Well, then there's a story that hinders you from moving into that place of production. If you own a business, you're going to get paid for results. You don't get paid for time. It's action, mindset, it's understanding the inner game, creating leads, having more leads than you have time, effective communication skills. These are all components that will allow you to create results. But if you're avoiding the action, well, there's a reason. If you're procrastinating, if you don't know why you do what you do, if you're overwhelmed, if you're anxious, if you have anger, hate, resentment, guilt, shame, abandonment, rejection, all of these anxieties can hinder you from the rules of engagement. Now, the more you understand why you do what you do, then you can move into the practical application of letting go. So letting go is a very misunderstood topic. As a matter of fact, in the entire arsenal of my books, well into the thousands, there's only two titles I have that reference the term letting go. One by Guy Finley, written in the late 70s, early 80s. Another book that I have by David Hawkins, which was written several years ago as well. David Hawkins is unequivocally the master at understanding energy, why we do what we do, and especially letting go. Broken down into a definition, letting go means separating your feelings from the events that shape them. So if you say to yourself, I worry all the time, I'm always worried, that becomes an identity. It's not a how do I let go of worry, it's why do you use worry to avoid being prosperous. Why do you worry all the time? So to have a better understanding of why you do this, it's events that shape the feelings. As you start to understand why, then you can let go of how do I. Because how do I becomes academic. When you can separate your feelings from the reason you do what you do, then you can change your identity. You cannot change in a state called denial. When you don't know, I don't understand, my whole childhood is repressed, I don't have any memories, well, that makes it very challenging for you to separate your feelings from those events. And then you will spend most of your time reacting rather than responding. If you own a business, you require response skills, meaning you have to be creative and innovative. If you've had a job most of your life, then you have a high tolerance to your job skills. You have a high tolerance to your job identity. You'll have a high tolerance to your job mindset. And even though you may not like your job, want to keep your job, a lot of your brain chemistry is based on job skills. Job skills and free enterprise skills, there are some similarities but also some distinct differences. Now, there's a high probability if you're relatively new, you'll have a story that hinders you. Your typical story is, I don't want to be rejected. I don't want to be abandoned. I don't want to get in trouble. I don't want to make a mistake. I want to do it right. These are some of the statements that a large percent of the population uses to avoid learning the skills, developing the mindset, and mastering the habits of free enterprise, especially if you worry. Worry creates a neurochemical response called fight or flight. Fight or flight also creates a set of neurochemicals that the brain secretes and releases that eventually are affected by the stress hormone that will eventually end up being a term called cortisol. The cortisol connection is what keeps many people overwhelmed, doing the same thing over and over, not understanding why they do what we do. It's events that shape our feelings. As you can let go of the significance, see, it's not the event, it's the significance. Some people can go through challenges, can go through molestations, traumas, abandonments, rejections, can grow up in dysfunctional homes and go on to have a very functional, prosperous life. They would be the law of the few. Most people have events that shape their identity, then they repeat these events over and over. They marry, they mate, they date the same type of person that affects their feelings. When you're able to separate your feelings from an event, that's when you are letting go. That's the value of forgiveness. In the 12-step programs, it's stressed to surrender. Now, surrender has more than one meaning. When you're surrendering in our game, you're not surrendering from weakness. You're surrendering to let go of your ego that keeps you doing the same thing over and over. Your ego is your identity that keeps you doing the same situation, creating the same result. And many people would rather be right than prosperous, right than rich. Many people would rather be in conflict and worry. But if you worry all the time, if you always worry, what that really means is that you're always anxious. If you grew up in a household where there's alcoholism, there's abuse, and there's violence, your body begins a stimulus-response situation, meaning you begin to react to your environment. Your environment can become your personal reality. Your personal reality becomes your personality. So if you wake up worried, overwhelmed, you wake up in unpredictability. If you get picked on at school, then you're going to create anxiety before you go to school that next day. Your body begins to flex and flinch, meaning that your body begins to accustom itself in a placebo effect called fight or flight. You will tend to drop your right shoulder. If you're left-handed, raise your shoulder, check out, say when asked a question, taking 3 to 8 seconds for you to react rather than trusting your feelings, being in a very relaxed, released body and being able to respond effortlessly and easily. Now, when you're able to separate your feelings from events, then you're not the mind-body connection to the event that you perpetuate over and over. Now, one of those common words that people hold on to and continue to perpetuate over and over is, I don't know. My whole childhood was a blur. I don't understand. I don't remember. I forgot. That's unfortunately what a lot of people do. They hold on to a set of feelings based on past events. They repress and create depression. They repress a set of feelings and become despondent, depressed, overwhelmed. And if you're overwhelmed, there's a high probability you're also unorganized, undisciplined emotionally. You're a chronic winger. You'll have challenges developing systems, habits, routines, and methods, unless someone is telling you what to do. Now, one of the greatest contradictions that many of you will face is you may not like your profession any longer. It may not serve you any longer. You're probably underpaid. You're probably overwhelmed. You're probably overworked. You're not rewarded. You're not congratulated. And you'll continue to do what you do because it is familiar. Now, one of the greatest distinctions and greatest contradiction happens is when you quit that job or you start a business from your home and you seek the freedom that you know you're capable of, but you continue to procrastinate, not understanding why you do what you do. The reason you will do why you do what you do are a series of similar events that shape a series of similar feelings that afflicts and affects most of society. A large percent of society has rejection issues. They've been rejected. They've been abandoned. They grow up in dysfunctional homes. They've been violated in any multitude of situations. They've been neglected. No matter what you do, it's never good enough. And if that becomes part of your identity, then you'll live in this place where you don't deserve. You have challenges receiving. You have challenges asking. It's very common for a large percent of society to over-obligate themselves, be overwhelmed, overproduce and be undercompensated, meaning they'll overobligate themselves to an employer and others, put themselves last, and the emotion that drives this action is guilt. Now, the more you understand how you've been guilted into submission, guilted into doing situations, guilted into over-obligating, then you can separate your feelings and begin the let-go process. Letting go is like any process. It requires a commitment. It requires a decision. And most importantly, it requires you to have a better understanding of why you do what you do so you know what to let go of. How can you let go when you don't understand what you do? Well, you can't, because what you're chasing is the spiritual ghost, the ghost of anxiety. When you continue to hold on but don't know what you're holding on to, what you're typically holding on to the past, which represents the familiar. And this is why so many people struggle, get overwhelmed, challenged, over-obligate themselves, and have challenged getting around to the dedicated blocks of time that will allow them to be an effective business owner slash entrepreneur. You have to master the skills of your vocation. So that also means you have to let go of your story, specifically about this five-letter word, sales. Selling is the highest paid profession in the world. Selling, branding, marketing, creating a brand name, creating content, being able to deliver service and value. Many people are going to have challenges with this because of their low self-esteem. Now, you can have confidence and be competent in the job world and the educational world, but that doesn't necessarily mean that you will have self-esteem. Self-esteem is how you feel about self. You don't require anyone's permission but your own to give yourself permission to be and have self-esteem. If you're overwhelmed, you're probably overweight. If you're overweight, you're probably stuffing a set of feelings using sugar and yeast or any multitude of other situations, trans fats, GMOs, and other food sources that aren't good enough. I recently coached a woman who, fortunately for her, she was able to overcome one of her addictions, alcoholism. However, she told me in confidence and confided in me that she tended to relapse late at night and reward herself with sugar. It's called nighttime eating syndrome. Many people do this. She would tell her significant other she was going to go downstairs, go to the bathroom, get a drink of water, yet stand in front of the cupboards and eat out of the jar, eat out of the cookie bag, get an instant gratification, then immediately feel bad. And so that way, the payoff that she would get, as I was explaining this to her, the payoff that she would receive from this nighttime eating syndrome is she would continue to feel disappointed in herself. It's pleasure for pain, instant gratification for future disappointment. A large percent of society's emotional state is driven by these emotions: anger, hate, resentment, guilt, shame, abandonment, rejection, and overwhelmed feeling. If you're in a business that requires selling skills, communication skills, asking skills, it's important that you get comfortable with those skills. Asking is 5 to 15 words that end with a question mark. You have to effectively trial close throughout a conversation. For you to be a closer, you have to let go of your anxiety about an outcome that hasn't happened. Letting go means you stop telling yourself stories. I don't want to be rejected. Well, you have to have a reframe that whole word. First of all, if someone doesn't buy from you, they're going to not buy from you for a few reasons. One of them may be because you telegraph your anxiety. Your communication skills are broken. You have gaps and delays in your communication. You telegraph your uncomfortability. You telegraph your rejection and abandonment issues. This is very common, afflicts a large percent of people who enter a new free enterprise. You don't get over the situation. You don't forget the situation. You let go of the events that shape the feelings, so you're not the mind-body connection to the rejection issues that hinder you from receiving. Now, what many people do, they'll overcompensate their low self-esteem, the rejection issues, by over-obligating themselves to others so they can mask the fact that they have low self-esteem. They'll have confidence and be competent, and they'll be great servers, great givers, but have challenges asking, receiving, and deserving. If this is you on tonight's call, I'm speaking exactly to you. I'm speaking precisely to you so that in your inner ear, you start to create inner peace. Inner peace is what allows you to change your energy. If you telegraph your feelings from anxiety, you're holding on to past events. If you're holding on to your rejection issues, you're creating the ultimate rejection. You're rejecting yourself from being successful. I'll say that again. If you are rejected in childhood, at birth, and the grade school, on the playground, in junior high, if you were picked on by schoolgirls, if you were hazed in the military, if you didn't make the cut, make the squad, make the situation, there's a high probability that somewhere along your journey you have a rejection and or abandonment issues. If you have challenges with men, challenges with women, aren't skilled at dating, these are all situations that will also reinforce your ability to have a relationship, meaning you have challenges relating and your relatability factor is going to be very low because of the story you tell yourself about being rejected. This whole situation will show up quite frequently in business because your left brain, which is the neocortex of your intellectual egoic mind's purpose intellectually, is to resolve a problem. If you perceive rejection to be a problem, your left brain will create a placebo effect that says pain, avoid the pain. To avoid the pain, you'll procrastinate. You'll do everything but do what will compensate you. And if you own a business that requires sales and marketing skills, it's going to require branding skills, writing skills, the ability to post, the ability to articulate your feelings into words, the ability to ask questions, and most importantly, the ability to fact find, rapport build, and small talk in a forum called prospecting. You have to have more leads than you have time and be able to effectively qualify the leads for your benefits, your features, your products, your services, and you also have to be effectively to sell the dream. Now, many people are in product sales. They can sell the product, but they have challenges selling the dream, because the dream, living the dream, represents the ability to live the good life. But if your life has been a struggle, you've been overwhelmed, then you have to have a dream bigger than your problems. If your problems are bigger than your dreams, then you'll avoid learning the skills that allow you to be and stay prosperous. As you are no longer the mind-body connection to the events that shape your feelings, meaning that you're having a better understanding of cause and effect. If you get overwhelmed, that's an effect, not a cause. You don't get overwhelmed because you get overwhelmed. You get overwhelmed because you grew up in unpredictability. You grew up walking on eggshells, pins and needles. You grew up because you didn't know what to expect. You may have received a B+ on a grade, but you may get criticized or ostracized for not receiving an A or an A-, or one of those situations. Your body begins to live in fight or flight, an overwhelmed state. If you grow up in unpredictability, your body responds to it. It becomes a stimulus and response situation. Your personal reality then becomes your personality. It means you're worried all the time. It means you're overwhelmed. It means you're anxious. You don't want to get rejected. I've had clients who took their report card out of the mailbox because they knew they were going to get criticized for getting a B-, a B, or a B+, because the expectation was they were going to get an A. And if you grew up with a passive-aggressive perpetrator, passive-aggressive personalities in your circle of influence, if you have brothers and sisters who ostracize you, if you are the last child, then you're going to get a little more of what someone else didn't get. There's a high probability that someone picked on you, taunted you, or violated you in that family. Or it may have happened to the playground or any multitude of situations, meaning your body starts to react to the stimulus. That stimulus that reacts to creates a neurochemical. The neurochemicals it created create a pharmacy in your brain and in your body, creating an identity and a personality that says, I don't want to get rejected. If you get rejected, it becomes an identity. It's very common for you to avoid rejection, even though in the sales and marketing and branding situation, if people don't buy, they're not rejecting you. They're not buying. They typically don't buy because they don't see the value. They don't buy because they prejudge the situation before they get to it. They don't buy because you telegraph your uncomfortability. They don't buy because they're not a qualified buyer. They don't buy because they check out. They don't buy because they have objections to changing. A large percent of the population, when you present a value, a service, a benefit, a feature, a product that can change the quality of their life, that will improve their health, that will improve their financial literacy, that will improve their money skills, that will improve their health, that will improve their ability to release weight, their ability to detox and cleanse, any multitude of situations, any value proposition, a large percent of the population won't do what's best for them because it would contradict their identity, meaning it would contradict their struggle. It would be the end of the era, the death of the ego. As you start to have a better understanding of people's predictability, and you understand why they do what you do, and you understand that human beings are predictable, and a large percent of the population has challenges deciding and committing. This is the very reason when you present a great product, service, benefit, and feature, the prospect, the customer says, well, this sounds really good, but I'll get back to you. Now, what you have to know is you have to let go of getting rejected right there. You have to let go of feeling abandoned, neglected. You have to let go of your disappointment and understand that that person just told you a story. They used a preposition to start a sentence, oftentimes a sound, well, meaning they're going to go in the neocortex of their left brain. They're going to formulate a reason why they can't commit. They're also going to seduce you by leading you to believe that they actually have some level of interest. In your intuition, your trust, your extrasensory perception, you have to be able to tap into the morphogenic field, the quantum field of energy, where there's no separation between you and the result. You're able to easily and effectively understand what is meant, not what's said, and you're able to ask a question based on this objection. You're going to encounter a few objections that are predictable. You're going to hear them over and over, no matter what you sell, what you're marketing, or what you're branding. You're going to hear frequently people say they'll get back to you. You'll hear people say frequently they want to ask someone else for an opinion. You're going to have people frequently let you know that they don't have the money. They're going to let you know that they're financially challenged, emotionally strapped, any multitude of situations, because what they're really doing is delaying committing. And people who delay commitment are people that have challenges deciding. And the more you understand this, now you can let go of being violated, rejected, abandoned, neglected, and all the other events that your brain recreates to fulfill a feeling that you're emotionally addicted to. Letting go is having a better understanding of why you do what you do, separating your feelings from the events that no longer serve you, being present, being here, being now, and separating yourself from the events that shaped an identity. You can virtually change overnight. You can virtually change in a second. You can change now, or you can never change and struggle. It is all up to you. When it comes to letting go, let go of how you talk about letting go. I don't understand. I don't know. How do I? I don't understand why I do this. This is what many people perpetuate over and over to stay in a familiar place called anxiety. There's anxiety, there's doubt and fear that inhibits a large percent of society. 40 million Americans are diagnosed with chronic anxiety disorders. 4 million people a year plus use medication for anxiety and depression. The medical community hands out the red pill and the blue pill like they're candy. Klonopin, Doxepin, Adderall, Ambien, all the other pills, the psychotropic drugs, the barbiturates, the pharmaceutical grade methamphetamine, Adderall, which creates a super focus that has a very high tolerance, that the body creates a desire for more. An addict always wants a little more, creates a fake focus. This is why many of these drugs in sports are outlawed, because they're PEDs, performance-enhancing drugs. They create a fake personality. And if you're on any of this kind of medication, you want to have a clear distinction and understanding about why you do what you do. You'd also have to let go of the probability that the way you've been diagnosed with anxiety and depression also is a direct reflection of how emotionally addicted you are. There's hardly an addict alive that I've never coached or haven't met that doesn't have some level of depression. And if you have depression, it's often a direct reflection of being repressed, holding on to a set of repressed feelings that you don't understand, that you've blocked out in your memory so you don't feel the pain based on past events. As you're no longer the mind-body connection to the events that shape your feelings, you can easily, effectively, and effortlessly begin the let-go process. First of all, letting go is a decision. It is a commitment. It's a commitment one day at a time not to criticize yourself. You'll have one day of sobriety if you can finish this night without being critical. No matter where you are, if it's on the East Coast and it's 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, if you're on the West Coast where I am in the San Francisco Bay Area where it's 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, or if you're on the Big Island of Hawaii where it's 5 p.m. Hawaii time, you can commit tonight to finish this night without being critical. If you can do that, you begin the sobriety, recovery, let-go process. In the 12-step programs, there's a bumper sticker that you'll see frequently, let go, let God. There's another bumper sticker that you'll see in the back of people's windows on their bumper sticker that says surrender. Those are indigenous to that 12-step recovery program, because what you're surrendering is your will to be right. You're surrendering to be in control. You're letting go of the control that keeps you in control of being out of control, and you stop worrying about who you're going to be tomorrow. When you go to bed tonight, see if you can go to bed with inner peace. Commit to this before you go to bed tonight. When you go to bed, let go of any anxiety you had about today. Let go of being critical of yourself today. Let go of any mistakes that happened. Practice practical forgiveness. There's a book by Colin Tippin that I used to recommend for years called Radical Forgiveness. Forgiveness is another one of those topics that's very misunderstood. It's seldom written about, yet imperative to the letting go process. Forgiving yourself doesn't let you off the hook. Forgiving yourself takes you off the hook. Forgiving yourself allows you to let go of how critical you are of yourself. Forgiving yourself allows you to let go of mistakes that you've made that no longer serve you. Forgiving yourself allows you to let go of the guilt and shame about the events that defined or refined you. As you're no longer the mind-body connection to these events, then you will stop attracting to your reality the people and situations that keep you overwhelmed, overweight, unorganized, undisciplined. As you begin to let go, you can change your energy, your emotional, etheric energy. You can move from anxiety, fear, and doubt into a place called awareness. As you move into a place called consciously aware, love, joy, bliss, your emotional vibrational energy begins to shift and change. The lowest vibration that you will transmute your feelings from is anxiety. The major anxieties that affect the American, Canadian, Australian populace, or wherever you're dialing in from tonight, are anger, hate, resentment, guilt, shame, abandonment, rejection, overwhelm, feelings. And it's the events tied to the emotions that creates the overwhelmed feelings. It's not the emotion, it's the events that created the emotion. If you worry, that means the emotion that's going to affect you is going to be overwhelmed. It means you're overwhelmed about events that have not happened. You're trying to predict a future that hasn't happened. You're attempting to avoid trouble before it gets here. You're worried about how you're going to control an event that hasn't happened. As you're no longer the mind-body connection to the events that shape your feelings, as you let go of the people who overwhelmed you, as you let go of the passive-aggressive perpetrators who put you in a position there to justify, validate, and explain yourself, then you will tend to attract less often to your reality the same type of energies, personalities, men and women that would violate you emotionally, physically, or the passive-aggressive perpetrators that continue to show up in your business that violate you. As you're able to easily and effectively let go of this energy about the events, you can change your perception of the event. You change your viewpoint of the event. You forgive yourself and the people who harmed you. You're no longer the mind-body connection to the event. Then you can easily and effectively begin to attract to your reality people and situations that will foster your purposes. This is what will unequivocally create the quantum leap. 2 + 2 = 15. It was on 6 years ago today in Syracuse, New York, that I was speaking at a Susan Sly event for 80 people, that I had the unequivocal privilege of meeting Alexis Romano. Alexis went on to be one of the most exceptional women I've ever had the privilege of coaching. She's one of the most exceptional women I've ever seen build a series of businesses. She's created many, many people in her circle of influence, her team, her sister Tara, Tara's friend C.G. Siddons, and many other people in that culture went on to become multiple 6 and some 7-figure income earners. Now, that was 6 years ago today, and I watched that happen over a 1, 2, and 3-year period where the compounded effect began to take place. That unequivocally could be you, provided you're willing to let go of the anxieties, the fears, and the doubts that keep you avoiding your own success. Even though you think you're avoiding failure, what you're actually avoiding is succeeding. The reason you avoided success is because you're not sure you can control it. If you're in control of being out of control, then letting go of control becomes a contradiction. How do you let go of control? By not being controlling. You let go of control of letting go of the feelings and thoughts that keep you overwhelmed. And you may, letting go of control doesn't mean you're controlling your spouse, your significant other. It doesn't mean you're controlling your kids, although it might. You'd have to. It's an individual process for each and every situation. You have to be able to evaluate the situation for what it is and let go of what it isn't. As you're able to easily and effectively let go, then you're not attached to outcomes anymore. When you're holding on and not letting go, then you have your throat around the outcome that has not happened, because that outcome becomes definition from you. When you're not attached to an outcome, then it creates a whole different energy around the outcome. Then you can have a communication, a language style of non-attachment to where if someone doesn't buy from you, get started with you, join you, then you don't feel rejected and abandoned. Now, even though we're human beings and human doings, it's oftentimes easy to get attached to a situation because of the significance you give it before it happens. What many people do is they hold back and they save back, and they want someone else or they want their money to save them. If you have a savings account, then there's a high probability that you believe that saving that money is one day going to save you. That's what many people do. They save for a rainy day. They have big insurance policies in case they get cancer, and they want this insurance policy, the money they've saved, to save them, rather than being their own savior and producing on command. When you're not the mind-body connection to the events that shape the feelings, then you can frickin' bring it. Then you can be in the space, in the now, in the know. When you have this kind of energy, then you're not holding on to the anxiety of failing, because failure is not an option. When you're productive, results-oriented, when you're driven, when you're committed, you don't focus on failure, you focus on results. You focus on people, you focus on team. You focus on an outcome that's conducive to a result that you're creating, because by the daily discipline that you produce and perform one day at a time. When you're a professional, you are no longer an amateur. When you let go of the anxieties that rob you of your dreams, your brilliance, your capabilities, when you let go of those kinds of anxieties, then you're not the mind-body connection to the emotions that shape your addictions. When you let go of your identity of being an addict, and I went through this myself, for a large percent of my addictive years, I couldn't see myself not drinking. I was so addicted to being addicted that I couldn't see myself not being addicted. That's what holding on was. I was holding on to the throat of addiction. I had my hands wrapped around the neck of a vodka bottle or a scotch bottle, and I had long since graduated from ice and water. I graduated to straight vodka, straight scotch. And it got to a point where I didn't care the brand, I didn't care the flavor, I didn't care the taste. I wanted something to put the pain out immediately. I wanted a shot of courage. I wanted something to take that edge off. I would spend a large percent of my day romancing drinking. I would plan my drinking. I would plan where I was going to buy my alcohol. I'd be worried about who saw me drink two nights ago. I'd be worried about getting picked up, pulled over, because every day that I got up, I was legally drunk from the night before. My blood alcohol would be 1.0, 2.0, 3.0, 3.3, any multitude of situations, depending on the mood or my emotional state. But what always happened, which was predictable, is I began blacking out. When I eventually hit rock bottom, and I mean the rock bottom of the rock bottom, not the rock bottoms, but the rock bottom. When I hit that one rock bottom, people go, what was that one moment? There wasn't one moment. There was a series of degradations. There was a series of events that continued to lead to a series of rock bottoms to where the pain was great enough. I let go of that addiction, or the physical component of that addiction, alcohol, by having delirium tremors. That started to happen to me over a three-day period when I was 31 years old, 12 months and 17 days. That was the last time I had a drink, when I was 31 years old, 11 months and 17 days. That was 29 years ago. But that was the beginning. That wasn't the end, because recovery is a process. You never recover. You're in a recovery process. Recovery isn't a destination. Recovery is a process. And the more you understand that process, and the more you separate your feelings from the events that created that emotional state, and you're no longer the loser, the person who hits rock bottom, you're not the person who has lots of debt, you're not the person who chronically gets fired, you're not the person who starts a business and never finishes it, you let go of your shiny object syndrome, and you buckle down and you start to understand. For you to be successful, it requires success principles, action based on success, feeling successful, letting go of feeling like you're a failure, and focusing on success. What many people focus is on not failing. When you focus on not failing, you fail to engage, and you fail by not engaging, then you end up being the failure that you seek to avoid. Oftentimes what we do is we attract to our reality the very situation we seek to avoid, so we can justify our disappointment. Disappointment is the ultimate contradiction and the ultimate addiction. As you begin to have a better understanding of why you do what you do, then you won't let the same people from your past violate you. When you go over to a 4th of July party and you're well-versed in your recovery, you won't validate, justify, and explain yourself to someone who puts you in a position that you have to validate, justify, and explain yourself. When you're no longer the mind-body connection to the events that shaped your anxiety, you won't create the very situation that you sought to avoid. Unfortunately, this is what many people do in the selling process. They have anxiety about being rejected. They state to themselves, I hope the prospect or customer doesn't ask me this. And then, what happens? The very situation that that person sought to avoid, the prospect says, how long have you been doing this? That prospector unequivocally checks out, goes into fight or flight, an outer body experience, responds by saying, well, stumbles and trips over their words, and all of a sudden the prospect says, you know what, I don't think this business is for me, thanks, but no thanks, see you, chief. And see, that person telegraphed their uncomfortability to hold on to a series of events based on the past experiences that created an outcome that was predictable. When you're no longer the mind-body connection to the events that shape your feelings, then you are you and you are free. It's at that point in your emotional journey, in your spiritual journey, in your quest for greatness, in the freedom that you seek, that you're able to access your brilliance. You're no longer guilty or ashamed of being brilliant. You're no longer overwhelmed about the possibility of being successful. You stop worrying about how your family's going to respond to you being a millionaire or a millionaireess. You start to meet people where they are. You let go of anxieties about outcomes that haven't happened. You're able to neutralize the pain. You understand cause and effect. You let go of your avoidance and procrastination tendencies. And most importantly, you stop comparing yourself to others. You stop comparing yourself to yourself. I'm not where I should be. I should be much further along. I always tell my clients, look down at your feet. You're right where you are because that's where you are. You're there because that's where you earned yourself to be. If you want to be somewhere else, then you have to be someone else. You can't be an addict and expect to recover. You can't succeed by avoiding. You can't succeed by putting energy into failing. You will succeed by letting go of your anxiety about failing. You will succeed by letting go of your low self-esteem. You will succeed by developing habits conducive to the outcome that allow you to be successful. You will succeed by letting go of the stories and anxiety that you hold on to. You will succeed by letting go of being and feeling rejected. When you begin to let go of these anxieties, your energy changes. Your emotional, etheric energy raises. Your vibrational energy begins to shift, and there's a change that begins to happen. You go to the grocery store. You go to the restaurant. You go to the parking lot. There's a space available for you up front. You ask the airline attendant, the airline stewardess, if you can sit in a better seat. She goes, why, sure, someone canceled, move right up here. When you go to a restaurant, all of a sudden you get the best table in the house. This starts to happen because you change your expectations. When you expect to fail, you create the very situation you seek to avoid. When you expect to get rejected because you don't like it, you attract your reality, people, and situations to fulfill your low self-esteem so you can justify your disappointment. As you're able to separate your feelings from those events, then you start to no longer be the mind-body connection to the events that shape your feelings. When you have a very low voice, very low energy, you are telegraphing your incompetence. You are telegraphing your low self-esteem. You're telegraphing that you don't want to get in trouble. You don't want to make a mistake. You are telegraphing that children are to be heard, not seen. You are telegraphing to sit right down here and do not say a word. Get in that back seat, color in your coloring books, and don't say a word till we get to your grandmother's. If that's part of your identity, that's what you begin to let go of. You start to have a better understanding of what happened in your childhood. You have a better understanding of what happens as you grow up. You have a better understanding of who and what you've attracted. You start to create boundaries around yourself. You no longer hold on to jobs that don't serve you. You stop telling yourself stories about, I can't pay the bills. What happens if I quit my job? I'll never make it. Well, you won't when you talk like this. But when you start to move into a different level of energy, now you start to have prosperous thoughts rather than broke thoughts. When you let go of your poverty consciousness, then you can have a prosperity consciousness. When you let go of worrying about what other people are going to think about you when you're successful, so you avoid being successful so people won't say what they haven't ever said, when you stop worrying about what your friends and family are going to think. If you're already dreading going to see your friends and family in the holiday, then don't go. You're being driven by guilt. Why would you go be violated? Why would you subject yourself to do this? That's what many people do. Well, they're my family. Well, so what? But surround yourself with people who empower you rather than people who disempower you. Let go of your guilt about how you're supposed to show up at certain functions and situations so you can be violated. And if you do show up at these functions, teach yourself a skill that allows you to neutralize the perpetrators and violators so you don't feel rejected and abandoned. When someone says, so how long have you been in that business? Be able to say, 6 more days, I've been here a week. Does that sound good? When someone says, how much money have you made? I'm just starting to move into the money creation cycle. Have an answer and a response that's favorable. Let go of making a mistake, looking foolish. Let go of how embarrassed you are about the very industry you're in. How can you succeed in an industry that you're worried about what other people are going to say about it? You can't. I mean, you should have pride and dignity about the company you're in, the business you own, the vocation that you have chosen. But when you feel less than, when you're worried about someone's going to perceive it, then you're telegraphing a mixed message. You're telegraphing your low self-esteem. You're virtually inviting that person to say, that sounds like a flaky business. I can't believe you're in one of those companies. That sounds like a pyramid. I'm shocked you joined one of those situations. I can't believe you own a franchise. You sell mortgages? Are you kidding? You're a realtor? Nobody makes money in those businesses. When you subject yourself to that kind of criticism, that's how you get to be rejected. When you separate yourself from these feelings, when you let go of these people abandon and reject you, when you let go of your guilt about situations that no longer serve you, when you stop putting so much energy in your friends and family, worried about them or how they're going to say or how they're going to respond, then you're not the mind-body connection to the events that shaped your feelings. You are virtually letting go on command. Letting go is a decision. Letting go is a commitment. Letting go is your divine right to be you on your terms and your time frame. When you let go of being criticized, abandoned, rejected, neglected, when you let go of walking on eggshells, when you let go of walking on pins and needles, then you won't attract your reality, the people and situations that fulfill the very feelings you seek to avoid. When you let go of control, then you're no longer controlling your outcome. When you let go of control, you're no longer controlling your emotional state to stay in anxiety. When you start to have a better understanding of why you do what you do, the weight you hold on to lets go on its own. When you let go of the anxieties that keep you perpetuating the same set of feelings, your body starts to shift and change on its own. It starts to create a new pharmacy of its own. You no longer require outside medication. You don't require sugar and yeast. You start to live in a healthier body. Your body starts to create organically a different set of neurochemicals. Then you're not always trying to figure it out. You're not overwhelmed. When you let go of your dialogue with money that doesn't serve you, when you live in broke thoughts, when you tell yourself, I really want to hire him, but I'm going to have to do that at the end of the year, no, you decide first and create the outcome. What many people do is they attempt to create the outcome, then they're going to decide. That's the ass-backwards syndrome that never gets you the result that you are seeking. Decide first, figure it out second. Commit first, create the result second. So if it's money that you feel short of, become creative in creative financing. Find ways to attract it. Sell situations. Become creative in how you do it. Become innovative and creative. But stop waiting for the perfect, mythical, magical moment to show up so you can decide. It does not operate that way. Living in your power means you have let go of using force to create an outcome. You're no longer seeking a counterforce, or you don't attract people who use force and use you to be their counterforce, to be in conflict, to be in control. When you learn to let go of control of events that haven't happened, now you're in the present. You are here and you are now. You become responsible for your feelings. When you're trying to control tomorrow, you're trying to control your feelings. When you let go of control of tomorrow, you're here and you're now, you're in the present. There is no control. Control is an illusion. Control is like worry and pressure. They're ghosts that don't exist. They're stories that you tell yourself. They're mythical and they're magical. They're legends about situations that never really happened. When you worry about your friends and family, they're your friends and family ghosts. When you let go of these ghosts, you are you and you are free. I asked a woman recently, what she wanted me to assist her with. She said, my worry. I asked her a little bit about that. She said, I'm worried all the time. I'm always worried. I asked her to repeat those two terms back. She said, I'm always worried. I worry all the time. I asked her how that sounds. She said, it sounds stupid. I said, it's not stupid. It's your identity. When you're worried all the time, always worried, there's no room for any margin for anything but worrying. That means that's your control. When you let go of worrying and worrying what other people are going to think about you, when you let go of anxiety about events that haven't happened, then you are you and you are free. There's no yeah, but. And it's not just. People say this all the time to me. Do all I do is just do that? I just let go? Letting go isn't justing. It's not jousting. Letting go is a commitment. It's a decision. It's an energy. When you live in the energy of letting go, you can let go very quickly. It's not a how do I let go. It's I'm letting go. When someone cuts you off in traffic and you don't get angry about it because nothing happened, then you have let go. But when someone cuts you off in traffic and you make a big deal out of it, you overreact to it, that's holding on. That's holding on past events. People have violated you. Now you want to be right. You want to honk. You want to make a scene. I had someone do this to me today. They called me today to prove me wrong. I'm like, great. I let them prove me wrong, got out of the conversation in a few minutes, and went back to doing what I do, produce. Now, that other person, I guarantee you, got a neurochemical high off making me wrong. I didn't get anything from it. All it was about a few minutes of my time. I let the person be right and effectively moved on. Had no effect on me other than 180 seconds of my time that someone felt was valuable to them. And I was willing to give that up to let them be right so I could move on and be productive. When you're able to do this, and you're easily and effectively letting go. And when people bait you, don't take the bait. When people put you in a position to validate, justify, and explain yourself, ask them a question. When someone says, you better be grateful for all I've done for you, ask them this, what leads you to believe I'm not grateful? When someone says, you're really difficult, ask them what that means. When someone puts you in a position to validate, justify, and prove yourself, ask them a question in a very relaxed body, not an aggressive body, not in an angry body, not in the emotion of hate or resentment, in a very relaxed, released body where you are letting go because you're not attached to their conflict. You're no longer going to be the counterforce to someone else's force because you live let go. Letting go is a process. Letting go is a commitment. Letting go is decision. Letting go is easy. It's effortless. It's not a how do I, it's an I am state. When you live letting go, you let go easily and effortlessly. If the parking space isn't there the first time, drive around the block. But when you get pissed off, overwhelmed, I can't believe this didn't happen to me, then you've completely shut off the qi gong, the energy, the life force, the quantum field, the morphogenic field, the Akashic records, to an event that was about to happen. It may not happen right by divine time, but if you let go, it will eventually happen because you know. When you know that you know, then you don't doubt when you know. When you doubt what you know, then you're holding on. When you let go of your doubt, then you let go of the doubt and you're free. When you're able to be in that space, then you are you and you are free. You live in conscious awareness. You'll attract your reality, people and situations to foster your change, foster your purpose. You're aligned with a whole new set of circumstances, people and situations that empowers you and others. When you hold on to the past, you're holding on to the energy and the significance of an event that you've created. The event really happened, that's a fact. Or if you're not certain, then let go what you're not certain of. But a lot of situations have happened. Those are facts. When you let go of the significance of the facts, then you're not the mind-body connection to those events. That absolutely separates you from those feelings. It gives you a new space to attract from. It opens up a portal in the universe for someone to find you who deserves the energy that you're bringing to the table. But when you bring low energy, anxiety, fear, and doubt, you're going to attract your reality, people in situations to fulfill that low self-esteem. That relegates you to enablers, over-obligators, addicts, people of low vibration and low energy, and you attract those people into your team, then you will have a team of codependents. But when you become independent of your past, you're no longer dependent on a set of feelings that keep you with a low self-esteem and feeling violated and rejected. When you become independent of events that no longer serve you, you'll attract your reality a different type of energy, a different type of prosperity partner, someone who's much more self-conscious, self-aware, a self-starter, someone who doesn't hold on to situations, who can easily and effortlessly adapt and adjust. When you're skilled at letting go, you adapt and adjust quickly. Instead of finding the flaw, you find the result. You find the solution. When you live in the solution, now you're in your creativity, you're in your innovation. And when you live in this kind of energy, you are in your power. When you're holding on, you are powerless. And you're holding on to the ghost of the past. When you let go, you're holding on to the mystery of the future. You're creating your future. When you let go, you're here and you're now. You're present. You're available. Your ability to listen, to hear is improved. You hear what's meant, not said. You're able to let go of prospects very quickly. You don't stalk, chase, and beg people. You're able to easily and effortlessly let go because you are you and you are free. My name is Jeffrey Combs. I am the president and founder of Golden Mastermind Seminars Incorporated. If you've been on this call tonight and you're relatively new to my content and you have not hired me to be your coach and you want to find out more about that, you may contact me on Facebook by instant messenger. Send me a message letting me know what you'd like me to assist you with. With your phone number, I'll reach back to you in a relatively short period of time. I will call you or message you and we'll establish a free 15-minute coaching call. I look forward to connecting with you. My name is Jeffrey Combs, president and founder of Golden Mastermind Seminars Incorporated. I will be in Long Island, New York, Saturday, July 8th. Next Tuesday, July 4th, I will be here for a shortened version of this call. Have a great evening, everyone. Thank you very much. Good night and goodbye. Have a great holiday weekend.